How do I know if this is even working?
Ladies of the LLLLV.
Thank you. I'll be here all year. Or as long as you listen. Or really just whichever comes first or is better. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now. Bye.
And I was kind of obsessed with her.
I know.
Like,
she was obsessed with you, so it was mutual.
I still have, like, cards that she wrote me somewhere.
Oh, my God.
I still have them. But we were talking about this, that somehow, in today's world, it might seem a little creepy. But at the time, I became, like, really good friends with your mom. Mm-hmm. And we became friends because of it.
We did.
Which sounds so random.
I know, but it really wasn't.
It wasn't.
It was natural.
I, like, came over to your house after I was her student.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, since then, we'll just bypass that because okay. it's a little strange.
All right, sounds good.
So, since that time, I have followed Samantha on social media, and we were just kind of saying how even though we haven't remained, like, tight friends, she's one of those people that I've always just kind of followed her journey. And I noticed about, I think it might have been, like, what, 2 or 3 years ago, that something's happening on the roof of my apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what it is or if you can hear it, but someone's playing a really intense game of bocce ball on the floor above me. So I followed along on Sam's journey, and it was pretty clear to me that a few years ago you went through a really shitty breakup with someone.
Sure did.
And I sort of saw that after that you took something that was really bad and made it into something really positive. So can you kind of talk about, I know it was sort of like a series of events, but can you sort of just start with the breakup itself?
Sure. I was dating this guy for 2.5 years. I lived with him, and we were friends for 7 years prior. He's a great guy. I'll still never say a bad thing about him, but basically he fell out of love with me. Just kind of ended it, and there was no say in anything. It's over. So I left, had to move back in with my mom, and that was a transition in and of itself. And that was really difficult because we had a lot of mutual friends, and I kind of lost them all throughout the breakup. They all kind of stayed with him, which is fine, but no hard feelings there, truly, but I understand. It was difficult because not only did I lose, you know, my boyfriend, we also had a dog together, so I wasn't able to see him, and just the whole thing.
Why did he get the dog?
Because he had two other dogs, and our dog was raised with them, so I would have hated to pull our puppy away.
That really makes me sad.
Like, yeah, it was like shared custody. It was terrible. But I did not see him, and we tried to... I can't say we tried to make it work. I was delusional in thinking that we were trying to make it work, but we continued to stay in contact for about a month or two after the breakup, and it was kind of, I guess, all in my head. So then it was, you know, in January then, 2 months later, it was kind of all a whole new breakup. It was a really difficult time in my life. I had no clue who I was. I lost my entire identity, sense of self. But yeah, then that led into many other things.
Yeah, so we were talking about this earlier, that sort of during this time was when there were a lot of other things that happened, sort of like a series of a few months for you that were just one thing after the other. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So the breakup happened, you know, right before Thanksgiving in 2016. As I said, we continued to stay in touch for a month or two. He then decided, you know, it was not going in the right direction, so we just kind of cut it from there. Early January, I had to put my dog of 14 years down the week later, and then I had been in touch with a breast specialist because I have, you know, masses within me that they're unsure of what they are.
How did you find them?
Well, my grandmother, my mom's mom, died at 49 of breast cancer. So I already knew, my mom stressed to me the importance of, you know, checking myself and, you know, if you feel anything, go to your doctor. Like, it's not, we're not messing around here. Because at that point, we didn't know if it was like the genetic kind of form, because there's all different types.
Did they get tested for the BRCA gene, do you know?
I did.
You did?
I did. I don't have it. But I have, there's another gene that it's breast, ovarian, pancreatic, and colon cancer, and mine's mutated for that. So it's not, it's not that I'm going to have breast cancer. I'm just at a higher risk of the average person. So I want to say I was about 18. I'm 24 now. And I felt a bump. I didn't know what it was. So I just went to my gyno. I'm like, hi, I feel this. And she's like, oh, I actually feel too. So I had an ultrasound then. They found two masses and they kind of chalked it up as, hey, you have two masses, we'll see in 6 months. I'm like, okay, I hear masses and I'm freaking out. I think cancer. I'm 18. I had no clue what to think. So from then on, I refused to see those doctors ever again. I switched to a new specialist. I would see him every 3 months. He's the one who pushed for me to have the genetic testing done. It's like a $4,000 blood test. Ridiculous.
Oh, shit.
So thank God my insurance covered it. God bless. But yeah, they found that specific mutation within me. And I would have ultrasounds every 6 months, checkups, you know, in between. And he kind of up and moved and didn't tell anybody. I got a call, hey, your appointment's canceled. I'm like, what do you mean canceled? They're like, oh, he kind of moved. That's great. So I had to find a new specialist because this is very important to me. You know, my grandmother dying so young. It's just really... that weighs heavy on me. It was a really big thing in my family. My mom was about to turn 50. She's like, am I going to make it to 50? Because my mom only lived to 49. My mom's 49th year of life was complete anxiety at all times. She'll tell anybody that. It was just really hard for her. So that weighed really heavy with me. And it was kind of around the same time, which is also, it was just too much. So he up and moved. I had to find a new specialist. So during this time that, you know, my ex had broken up with me, that's when I was told that my specialist is no longer in the area. So I had to find a new one. So on top of everything I'm going through, I have to find a reliable doctor that I can trust. So I found one. I saw her in January. So I was dumped. My dog had to be put down. And then I have this new appointment with this new doctor a week after all of that, and she actually found three masses then, not two, and the one doubled in size in 4 months. So I had an ultrasound on the spot to check all the measurements, and then I had biopsies done, a needle led biopsy, and it came back as a specific type of tissue that it's kind of up in the air, like this could go really south or you could live with it. Not worth the risk.
Yeah.
So she's like, all right, I want to schedule a surgery. Want to get these out as soon as possible. She's really a proactive doctor, which was really cool for me. And the next available opening was on Valentine's Day. So I took it. I was like, I'd rather be drugged up for this day. I'm like, I'm on it. So, I had the two masses removed on, Valentine's Day of 2017. And, they actually found another mutation of the one mass that they didn't see at an ultrasound. So basically, it was a good thing that they removed it. Everything was good. Everything was fine. Parameters were good. And so that was February. And then the next month, my dog with my ex-boyfriend was hit and killed by a car.
Oh, my God.
So it was four or five months of just consistent shit. Like, hell.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything was ever going to be okay again. So.
So when did it, like, so bringing it full circle, I feel like at some point in the past year, everything that I see of yours is always about just being positive and being strong. And I seriously, I don't know if you have people that you, like, follow in your Instagram that it just becomes a part of your daily routine. And if you, like, don't post, I'm like,
What are you doing today? Why aren't you here? I need you. But you're one of those people for me where I'm like, you are so positive all the time. So when did it turn around for you? Like, when did you start to see it that way?
That is a good question. I want to say probably almost a year ago. So I started a new job. I was also at a really toxic place of work, which I don't know that I should talk about much. But so I started a new job. Now it's been a year that I've been there. It was kind of like a new beginning for me in a sense where I'm like, oh, I could start over. I don't know anybody here. It was great. I think that's kind of when it all kicked in. I tried myself to make it not be a person like as a landmark. Like, oh, I met this person and my life turned around. Like, I never wanted my life to be that because I went through such shit for such a consistent period of time. I want to say it was like once a month something terrible happened to me. And it was not just me exaggerating. It was like actually like awful things continued to happen. So I never wanted it to be like a man that broke that cycle. I wanted it to be myself. Mm-hmm. So I think it just kind of truly hit me one day. Like, I don't know. I can't think of like a time or a date that it really turned around, but I want to say it's been like a year now that I've forced positivity in myself. But I've been seeing a psychologist for, I started seeing him right before my ex broke up with me, which was very convenient. So probably a little over 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I recently stopped seeing him because I feel that I'm in a good place. I know I can always go back to him and I feel comfortable in that, but for now I kind of want to like see where I could take myself because he's helped me so much.
Did you have to like break up with him? Like say, I think I'm good? Or
I think he kind of, it was a mutual. He's amazing. This man is so, I would recommend him to anyone, male or female. Literally the coolest guy ever. He recognized within the first meeting with me that I'm an empath. And for him to connect on a spiritual level, not just a psychological level, like, oh, you have anxiety and you have depression. It was like, wow, you actually like, feel things deeper than the average person.
Yeah.
It was really cool for that, like for me to have that experience as like my first actual psychologist rather than pushing things or, you know, it was just like, let's work this out. Mm-hmm. You know, these are tools and this is what you could do. So he was a big, big help in that. Big time.
Yeah. So why do you like what from here, from the surgeries and everything, mm-hmm. what's next for you as far as like the health scare goes? What do you have to follow up on?
So I had a yearly checkup in February, March. I want to say it was probably March of this year. And she said everything felt fine. Now, I have issues because I can't determine what's scar tissue and what's not because the incision is fairly large on my boob, so I can't, like, tell, like, deep down. I'm like, is that a new mass or is that just scar tissue? It's hard for me. And I want to say probably March, I went back. Everything was fine. Okay, I felt great. And then 2 or 3 months ago, I noticed that I was consistently feeling a new area that was bothering me. What made me nervous is that it was in the same exact spot of where my surgery was. So I'm thinking, oh my God, did something come back? Because the tissue was so like funky, like, you know, it just kind of like creeped me out. Like, did they not get everything? And maybe this is a new mass growing from that. So it just led for a lot of anxiety, but I was told monitor it for a month or two. Make sure it's not just your hormonal flare-ups because naturally our boobs hurt during our periods. Like, it sucks. So, like, I just kind of kept an eye on it. And it was consistently there, and I felt that it was getting worse. So I went back. I had an ultrasound, and I had a mammogram, which was terrible. I was there because my boob hurt, and it just, like, made it 20 times worse. They literally squish. Have you ever had one?
No.
I just pray that you have to wait until you're 50 because it's not enjoyable, basically, especially when you're already like sore. So everything ended up being good, and that was great, but I had a lot of anxiety because she was nervous about it. She was as nervous as I was, which actually scared me. I'm used to like her being like, oh, we're gonna get this, it's fine, it's not a big deal. So as of now, from there, this was just, when I had the mammogram and ultrasound after this little past scare, that was probably a month and a half ago. And now I'm dealing with potentially having polycystic ovarian syndrome.
How did you find that out?
I've always had terrible cramps. Awful, awful, awful cramps.
Okay. We've got a dog with a slipper.
Yes, we have a dog with a slipper.
It's okay. I'm so sorry I keep coughing.
It's okay. But no, I had terrible cramps always, and I went on birth control for that, and then that was 10 years ago. I've been on birth control for 10 years. I recently stopped taking it because I noticed I started to get really bad acne. I thought it was consistent with my hormones, so I was just like, screw that, I want nothing in my body. I just wanted to rid of it. So then...
It's okay. It's
so
okay.
Sorry.
Dogs with slippers. It's fine. They're
the second
old.
Slipper.
They're old slippers.
But yeah, so I then stopped taking that, whatever. Periods are still awful in every sense of it. I could always feel my left side, like, screaming at me. Like, every other month, I'm like, oh my god, this side's always worse. Like, I always notice it consistently. But I never said anything. My doctor knew, my gynecologist, but never ordered any testing, nothing like that. So finally, when I was at the breast specialist, whenever I was there for all this testing, I brought that up to her. I said, you know, I'm noticing, like, I'm having really bad periods. I'm having really bad acne. I never had acne in my life. And it was just really always bad on, like, my chin. I said, every doctor's told me hormones, 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 but no one's ever checked. So I saw an endocrinologist, and I had an ultrasound, and I have a cyst on my left ovary. Not a big deal. So many people have cysts. Like, it's totally okay. But now to see if it is an actual problem, such as polycystic ovarian syndrome, which can then make you infertile, which is my biggest fear. We're still in testing of that, but I am on medication now for my thyroid, which is then supposed to balance out this hormone that's kind of messing everything up. So prayers that it's all good, but I won't know until like December is when I have my recheckup. So
would you ever consider just getting, like, this is obviously drastic, but would you ever consider getting a bilateral mastectomy?
Oh, 100%. But it's about $60,000.
So. For, like, to do it electively?
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're predisposed to all these things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm so sorry. We have a dog who's attacking the shoes. What about your bone? Here, right here. Take your bone. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. He's so cute. So even though you're predisposed to all these things, they wouldn't cover for you to do it?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So that's the situation. I would love to get rid of them and
not worry about
slap
it.
Slap on fake ones. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it is obviously a very big thing because it's your womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize, like, the risk of them being gone, like, what that means to somebody. You don't think about it until it's your actual reality. Because, of course, I've thought about if this is cancer, if this is this, all these thoughts run through my mind, because I'm an overthinker and I have anxiety. You don't think about the reality of it until it's kind of, like, facing you.
Until it's there.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine. But if I ever win the lottery, I will give you $60,000. 100%.
Well, thank you.
So, I watched that little video of you. If any of you listening end up following Sam on social media, she posted this really awesome short video where you do talk a lot about positive thinking and how you feel like it helps you, but you also talk a lot about how you feel like lifting has really helped you.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So I read The Power of Positive Thinking, I want to say, a year and a half ago, out of desperation, just, like, seeking for answers of how to make myself feel better. it was too religious of a book for me, but I still gained a lot of things from it. Just like positive affirmations. Like, some people look at it as crazy. Like, you wake up and say, like, today's going to be a beautiful day. Today's a good day. I'm alive. I'm breathing. Like, you take a moment to be mindful. And I think mindfulness is the key to everything. You can't be successful without mindfulness. You need to remember where you came from. You need to realize that you're lucky to be here. And I think that, like, kind of changed my world. I have awful days, like, seriously, shit days that I just don't want to move. I'm no better than anybody else. I have a lot of issues that I still am working out within myself. But when I find myself in these terrible situations, I remind myself that I have to take one step back and, like, reflect. And whether it's finding, like, the beauty of the flame in this candle, or, like, how amazing it is that this is our life and we can light a freaking fragrance. Like, what? Like, that's so... I think of things in, like, such a weird way that I don't know that anyone can really relate, but I'm amazed by the simplest of things. I think it comes from my grandmother, my dad's mom. Like, I'll never forget the one day. We're sitting in their living room, and a stink bug's flying around the room, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, I hate them. Like, they're so gross. And she goes, it stopped, and it landed on her fireplace, and she goes, look at how beautiful. I'm like, Mom, you're weird. I'm like, ew, they're so gross. She's like, look at how beautiful. And she grabbed it, like, let it crawl in her hand, and showed me it, which I was like, ugh, like, this was like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And then she let it outside. And for some reason that, like, resonated with me. Like, my grandmother's the most simplest, like, person you'll ever meet in your life. She's amazed by the littlest of things and so happy from, like, the tiniest little gesture you could do. It'll make her life. And honest to God, she is, like, a huge reason that the mindfulness aspect resonated with me. You know, I think that is the key to my mental health success. Mm-hmm. Again, not that I'm anything great. I still have panic attacks. I still am depressed. I still have terrible things that happen to me on a consistent basis. But at the end of the day, you just have to remind yourself of, like, how lucky you are. I don't know. That there are people that always have it worse than you. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think... I love that. And I think everyone could use those reminders. Even the people who you think are naturally happy all the time could use those reminders.
Right.
Okay, so last few questions. What's going on now? What's up there? I don't know what it even is. Oh, something you can't have. Oh, the leaf. Oh. Okay, so we'll have to take him for a WALK. So what advice, like, what's the most important thing, piece of advice that you would say to someone who you feel is going through a health scare?
That's hard. Honestly, you'll get through it. No matter what it is, you're going to get through it. And you kind of have to just have that faith within yourself. And also, this is huge to me, but you need to do everything in your power to stay healthy. Like, it's not just a matter of, oh, I'm diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. Don't just sit and dwell. Go raw vegan, lift, drink a gallon of water a day. I that's huge to me. That I see so many people that have, you know, you're given this diagnosis and you kind of sit with it. People diagnosed with anxiety, okay, this is who I am. No, it's not who you are. It doesn't define you. So if you are going through any type of health issue, I think it's just best to stay positive and just have the confidence in knowing that you're doing everything you can to better yourself. I can't imagine if I were to have a family of my own and going through these things that I'm going through. It's hard for me to give advice on that aspect, because you think about your children and them growing up possibly without a mother or, you know, anything like that. But you just have to be confident in that you're doing all that you can in your power and know that there is a reason for it all. Truly, yeah. Having faith in that.
I love that. All right, so final question. We always end Ladies of the LV with one or two or both of these questions, but the one I really want to ask you is, what is the thing that you love the most about yourself?
I don't give up.
I like that.
At all. Ever. I will fight forever for something that I really want or that I love, somebody that I love, friend or relationship. That's just always been me. My dad raised me that way, so.
I love that. Well, shit. I feel like this went so fast, but our time is kind of up. Thank you for being our 15th Lady of the LV.
Thank you.
Sorry for the coughing, for the dog. I don't even know. Slipper grabbing, but he's finally calm. And thank you, Sam, for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
On behalf of everyone at Ladies of the LV, and by everyone I mean just me and Amy, don't be salty, Amy, I said your name. I would really like to thank you for listening, and if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and subscribe for future episodes, because we're going to have a lot of badass females on here. And by a lot, I mean hundreds, maybe even millions. Can anyone tell me the exact population of the Lehigh Valley? I don't know why I have to be so aggressive with numbers. Oh my goodness. Anyway, also, please feel free to visit veronicawithaglassofbubbly.com, where we have the podcasts and more blogs and fun things for you to read while you're sipping on a glass of champagne or the bottle. No judgment. We all do what we need to do.